Sophia. I'm an alcoholic. It's really cool to be in a meeting tonight. I feel like I occupy such a small corner of AA. I have such a set routine with my meetings, and can everyone hear me back there? It's a real pleasure to have just met someone outside of a meeting and be asked to speak. That felt like a real God moment. I had never had a conversation with Emily before, and I was just coming out of a business meeting and was chatting with her, and then she asked me to speak. I get nervous before I speak in a meeting because I really care about my sobriety. I really care about other alcoholics. I really care about staying sober, and it means a lot to me. And I want to, all I'll say is that I'm just another alcoholic. I don't entirely speak for AA, and I'm just sharing my experience, strength, and hope. My sobriety date is September 9th, 2015, so I have 23 months, and it's kind of unbelievable. I'll find myself walking around my apartment, going about my life and looking in the mirror and saying, oh my, I'm sober. I don't find the need to drink or smoke or do drugs that's kind of amazing considering I had been out there for so long, or what it feels like for so long. I know a lot of faces probably feel the same way in here. I mean, other people tell me, oh, it's great you got in so young, but I feel like I was out there for a long time. It felt really hard. And I was on the train ride over here. I was preparing like a good student, and I meditated, and then I flipped open to a page of the Daily Reflections, and the page I flipped open to was January 9th, an act of providence. And January's in the Daily Reflections book is about step one, so it's about admitting we have a problem and getting in here. And they define act of providence as a manifestation of divine care and direction. And that's what kind of interrupts what it was to bring you to what happened and what it's like now. And I had a really dramatic act of providence, I think. It was emotionally and spiritually dramatic. I was laying in my bed after a weekend of fighting with my family and outbursts and a lot of justified anger. And I was I had been seeing angels and talking to things out there I'm always reticent to talk about it because I'm still kind of protective of that experience in a way. Heck, for all I know, if those angels were real, they brought me in here, so they did something right. But I had an experience where I had a great night. I was sober, and I had thought I'd come to this new place, and then I didn't need to have a drink or use, but I decided to, need. Right, exactly. And I had this really intense physical experience where my body started shaking, and I started talking to these things in my room, and I just started pacing my room, and I knew I had to call someone, and I knew the jig was up, and she told me, you can't do this alone, you need help, go to a meeting tomorrow, and that was my act of providence, and that's why I'm here. What it was like, I feel like I was a really shy kid. I was the younger sibling of a really wild older sibling who kind of was able to do the big show so I could be mischievous on the side and no one could really notice me. My parents were young parents. My mom was in the program. She got sober when I was 1 year old. Since there was so much going on in the house and so much trauma that my mom was working through, that my sister was working through, I kind of was able to play the perfect student on the outside, appear like everything was going right, checking off all the boxes, and rebel in tiny ways in my own way, until I finally picked up a drink when I was 14, which was my first spiritual experience, which was my first experience of feeling a part of, feeling a feeling of belonging. I didn't even feel like the feeling brought on by alcohol and drugs was I just couldn't even believe this was real life. I couldn't believe it was possible that you could feel something other than, you know, what I had always felt. And that began years of just happening to be around the people that were doing the bad things, you know? I wasn't the person choosing to go out and do it. I might have, you know, knew the liquor store that wouldn't card me. I might have known, you know, the places that would sell me things, but, you know, it was very easy for me to, in my mind, think that I was just hanging out with people that were doing these things, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't the ringleader. Yeah, so, you know, throughout my teenage years, just a lot of belonging, got in trouble, kept it quiet on the side. As long as I had the outside facade working, it was fine. I had a part-time job. Then I got to college, and I was really off to the races. I really started to do the minimum and started being intoxicated the majority of my time, not really caring that it was affecting my schoolwork, my passion. I was an actor, and I was really, you know, it was what I wanted to do since I was seven. I'd been working towards it my entire life, and I really didn't care, you know? As long as I was checking the boxes and getting the P for pass, or like low pass, whatever, I'll take it. Towards the end, it got, you know, whatever. Or just dropping classes at the end. But, you know, eventually, you know, I held it all together. You know, after college, I realized, oh, I don't want to do this. Probably because I hadn't been working towards this goal the entire time. I really hadn't put that much stock in it. And so what does an alcoholic do? They move to South America. You know, so I did that for half a year. It's really great, this whole gap year thing that people, that parents seem to like now. So I, you know, I was able to just do that in another country. And it's funny because I grew up in Brooklyn. When I was 13, my mom moved to Baltimore, so I was going back and forth between New York and Baltimore, and then I went to college in California. And I remember just loving having so many locations, having different groups of friends, you know, always bringing the same me, but like, you know, other things brought out a little flavor. But then I come in here and I learn that's called a geographic, right? For like the first day or two, it really did feel like I was running away from things, like I was able to divorce myself of, you know, the things in that prior place. But you're, it's just the same stuff, different location. Yeah, you know, South America was a real low for me, but that didn't stop me from coming back to New York and picking it all back up again. And when I came back here, I was out for a few years until it finally got to that point I discussed earlier, where I was spiritually bankrupt. I had tried to get sober so many times from the age of 18. I got sober at 25. And so in those 7 years, I had tried so many times to do it on my own. 18 was the first time my mom sent me to like this meditation retreat, because she was like, you need this. And I really didn't want to go. The day before, I just, you know, didn't want to go. I was like cocktail waitressing at a strip club, because like that's what you do. And I was like, I don't want to go. And she was like, just do this for me. I was like, fine. And I went, and it was really hard. And that was the first time that I realized there's so much beneath all the substances and all the character that I put on that is going on. Like, I truly didn't know there were so many emotions happening underneath the character I created and all, like, the drugs and alcohol that I used to upkeep my character. I had no idea. I thought this was just me. And so when I had to be without that stuff and just sit with myself, I was like, whoa. It just really took me aback, and it made me see that maybe, you know, this isn't me, and maybe there are things that I could be doing. But as I said, I didn't get that till much later on. Yeah. So I really like talking a lot about recovery and focusing on recovery, because I feel like we all kind of know the emotions. We all know how it felt to be out there. Maybe we need to be reminded. But recovery has been a really exciting adventure for me, right? They call the 11th step an individual adventure. I feel like recovery is the same way. It's such an adventure. That night after I called that woman, she told me to get sober. Just so happened that a close friend of mine from group therapy had gotten sober 2 days before. And I called a mutual friend who was in another fellowship who enjoyed going to AA because it was more fun than her fellowship. And we all were like, oh, yeah, we were planning to go to this meeting anyway. And we went to a meeting on the Lower East Side in the East Village. And a really cute girl with an afro was there. And I was crying the entire time. And she just kept looking back at me, like, smiling and, like, thumbs up. She was so cute. And I was like, who's this girl, this adorable girl, like, smiling at me? I'm, like, crying, looking a total mess. And afterwards, she just let, you know, I told everyone I had one day, and she comes up afterwards. You know, me and my friend with 2 days just got flooded. And she was like, hey, how are you? Do you have a sponsor? Can I be your sponsor? And I was like, sure, that's what you're supposed to do, right? And, you know, I feel like God just, like, pushed me into AA. You know, like, one felt, like, it just took that one moment for me to just get launched into this program. And I'm really grateful for that. And so she just, like, called me every day, go to meetings. I ended up meeting up with her at her house a couple days later, which was also just total mind trip. Like, I don't know you. You're inviting me to your home. I come to her home. It's beautiful in Greenpoint. She talks about her, like, boyfriend who set up these speakers you control with your iPhone. I'm like, whoa, these are, like, adults. Like, you know? This is really cool. Yeah, and, you know, I didn't stick with her for so long because, you know, it ended up not working out, but I'm so happy she was the first face I saw, and I ended up sticking with my third sponsor. But what I did really quickly was I was just so lucky that I was surrounded by people who were in AA. Like, my therapist is sober, so when I told my therapist that, you know, I started going to AA, he was like, oh, there's a really great morning meeting up the street just a block away from your job. I was like, oh, okay, and now that's my home group, and I've been counting days there, and I've been there for almost 2 years, and Joe from SOS is here, and you know, it's just such a gift to be, and, you know, that room is so special. If you guys ever want to get up and be in a meeting at 7:30 on 11th and 5th Avenue, come see us. But, yeah, and then I also got launched into an 11-step meeting. That has totally rocked and changed my sobriety, it started my sobriety. Yeah, but you know, one thing that I've learned is this is medication, this is a prescription, it's not optional, you know? I remember the first time I didn't go to a meeting in 5 days, I started thinking these thoughts, and when they say cunning, baffling, powerful, alcoholism is in my mind, right? It's not just the drink, it's the thoughts that come before the drink, it's what the drink is medicating. And so if I don't have the drink, I need the program. I need all of the program. And so, you know, 5 days, for whatever reason, I couldn't get to a meeting, and I noticed my thoughts were kind of getting warped, but I really didn't see how bad they were. I thought, oh yeah, maybe it won't be so bad to go back out there, you know, I can do it now. And then I get to a meeting that on the sixth day, and it's just like, whoa, what's happening? And that's why I really don't try to go more than 2 days without a meeting. If I'm traveling, it's hard, but I at least try to go to one meeting and then, like, call people like crazy and read some literature, because I can't trust my own mind. You know, my own mind is the one who told me when I was out there that I didn't need all of you, that I didn't need AA. My mind was the one who, after 3 months of abstinence from one drug, thought I could do the drug that I really liked, and it was going to be okay. But when they tell you this disease is progressive and it's doing push-ups while you're in the program, it's so true. Because I'm really grateful that I had that experience before I came in the program of trying to stop so many times and then coming back and picking up just where I left off. And just, it's getting worse, you know? I feel like I kept trying to chase, like, the 16-year-old funness. But it never was like that. It never got to be at that point. And I remember just so badly wanting to go backwards, and it doesn't work like that. It gets worse, and it's just depressing. Yeah. So this program's super important. Thank you. Fellowship is, I know it's really nerve-wracking to, like, make friends with people, or for me at least, that's when I'll admit that. Not everyone has that issue. But It's nerve-wracking, you know? I find this disease wants to keep me isolated and wants to kill me. And so when I was out there, I wasn't one of those people who'd party, go outside all the time, but I would stay in my little circle. I'd stay in my home, build a nest, as they say. They say addicts like to build nests. And by that, I mean lots of bottles and trash and whatever in my bed. And and so it's really been such a cool, like, journey to learn that I can meet people, and just by being honest about my experience and talking to other people about their experience, we're able to, like, build this. We have this common bond. I read this article once. It was, like, a scientific article that said the opposite of addiction is connection. It's not abstinence. And I think that's really important. And sometimes people enjoy the scientific stuff to back it up. But also, like, you know, God. I think a lot of times my mind really wants to think I need to be in a certain place. It really wants to tell me that where I am is not enough, who I am is not enough, what I've been doing isn't enough. But I just have to remember, you know, I'm exactly where I need to be. If I look back at the past 2 years of my life, and even before that, I can see so many instances where God has taken care of me. And when I put my faith and my trust in God, when I just practice that third step, practice that seventh step, I just feel so much weight taken off of me. And it's just, it's not that serious, you know? I didn't, like, angle to get to where I am today, really, you know? All I can do is ask for a daily reprieve, and by taking these little tiny actions, going to a meeting, saying hi to people, if I'm lucky, meditate. I'm not gonna front like I do that every day. Praying in the morning, praying when I'm in times of need, and praying not for selfish things, but remembering that my primary purpose is to help another alcoholic, and that ultimately I want to be a tool for whatever is my higher power wants me to be. You know, my little goals and aims really aren't that important. They're really small-minded. My goal was never to get sober, all right? My goal was to, like, not be suffering. But I'm so grateful that I've been placed in a program by my higher power that where the primary purpose is to help other people. Right now I have a commitment to bring a detox into a meeting into a detox center every other week. And it's been one of the most rewarding experiences of my sobriety. Granted, it's a short sobriety, but yeah, you know, co-intergroup share. I had to go to an intergroup meeting this year on my birthday. I was in my head, darn, you know, I really wanted to go to this meeting and do this and do that. But, you know, that's not what my higher power had in store for me. So I woke up super early. I ended up going to a 7:30 meeting that's right down the block from it. Ended up getting to that intergroup. And it ended up being a great experience, you know. Being of service is just, it's really something that doesn't sound sexy, it doesn't sound fun, but it feeds me in a way that, like, that, you know, doing something that would satisfy myself and my small aims never do. Yeah, so, I don't know, I really appreciate being here and seeing a room full of new faces, and I look forward to hearing from you guys, so thanks.